gifted for a purpose. And looking at chapter 13, right in the middle of chapters 12 and 14, that good, creamy goodness about love. But I want to concentrate on chapter 12 a little bit today. And I'm not talking about your talents, nor your abilities. We all have those. But what has God gifted you with spiritually? A spiritual gift or gifts. And if you know Jesus, if you are willing to be open to Him, if you're willing to let Him lead you to fill your life, then He has gifted you with a spiritual gift, at least a spiritual gift. You may not know what that gift is, and there are ways to help try to understand that, and we'll get to that later. 1 Corinthians 12, let's look at that for a few minutes. First of all, verses 12 through 14 there, go back to something we looked at a couple of weeks ago and starting about the whole issue of purpose and our purpose here. And there's the term one body. And I like the term one body, not meaning one single person, but all being one body. Let's look at verses 12 and read forward. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of one body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, white, black, man, woman, child, adult. You get it? And we are baptized and all made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And you know how that is. You in your own physical bodies, if you have one part of your body that is not happy, right, then your whole body is not happy. You can have a sinus infection, and you think, okay, this is just contained here. But a sinus infection sometimes causes your whole head to swell up. It feels like your head's like a beach ball. And your fever starts to act up. You may not feel like eating because one member of your body is having trouble. So the rest of the members, they're sympathy. There's great sympathy. The rest of the members say, let's lay down here. Let's get some rest. Let's get liquid, whatever it might be. We are one body. And I like being one body. I like that I'm not stand alone. Jim and I are one together. Denise and I are one together. We're different, but yet we're one body. One of us may be a sinus, one may be a foot, and you know, and so forth, and you get that analogy. Look at verse 27 here as we in the same vein. Now you are one body of Christ and individually members of it. Now this one is an interesting concept. It goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, those verses known as the Shema, or the teachings to the Hebrews about God, simply say this. The Lord our God is what? One. He is one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit is one. We understand that we have feet and hands and we're one body physically. And so spiritually, we together are also one body. And Jesus showed us the way. Now, I don't want to take too much time with this, but the assault on family and sexuality in our culture today is tearing down the teaching of the parable of what we are to see of being one body. When a man and woman come to holy matrimony, what is said? The words are said, two shall become one, according to the teachings of Scripture. And we can see how if you tear that down, then it really tears down the teaching about God and the teaching about the family of God. Because if a person has many wives, many husbands, using the biblical language, then you have issues of not understanding how to be one. That's a side road. Let me pull back. Number two, there are some members we can't do without. You know, now, we're not talking about members of a church here, but there are some members we just can't do without. What is a member of your body you can't do without?
Heart.
Your heart. Now, can you do without your appendix?
Yeah.
Evidently, you can. You know, Mary Catherine, if you lost a big toe, you could go on, right? You could go on. You would miss it, but you would go on. So there are some members we can't do without. Look at verses 21 and 22. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Now, we think in our own bodies we can do without some things, although we don't want to. Now, you may lose the big toe. If you lose the big toe, you can live, but what can you not do? Run effectively. I remember Butch Wilson's son, George Wilson, he lived here in Bessemer, and he played football at Alabama about 20-something years ago, and he had a shotgun accident. You might remember this, and he shot half of his foot off. Yes. And he ended up playing football at Alabama at a high level with half a foot. But he always talked about how that it was a struggle to do, you know, to limp along playing football. So he could live without it, but it caused him to limp. And if you withhold your spiritual gift from the body, you cause us to limp. You wouldn't want to do that, would you? You want to give your spiritual gift to the body. Number three, the body has to stay together. Do your body parts go in different directions? Well, don't answer that. They feel like it at times, but you know, they don't go in different directions. We don't go, you know, your leg doesn't go over there and your arm over there. You go together. You know, have you ever seen a comedy routine where somebody's handcuffed to another person? You know, they can't find the keys and all that kind of stuff. And wherever one goes, the other goes. Repeat and repeat type thing. Verse 25. There may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. I want you to take that word division. The word division is a horrible, despicable word. There is no division in the body. And anybody who tries to divide the body is doing the work of Satan. Is that too strong? Anybody who tries to divide is doing the work of the evil one. Because there is no division in the body. Didn't say there are no differences. There may be disputes at times, but no division. Christy and I have disputes, but we're not divided. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye, but we're not divided. Number four. Deeper than caring, we feel one another's pain. The word feel has been used and misused today, and we don't go on feelings and all that. Sometimes we have to go on the facts of life. You know, I don't feel saved, but I can tell you what, I was saved, I am saved, even though I don't feel like it. So I don't go on feelings, but we have a deeper than just caring for one another. We feel it when it happens. Somebody said something to me this week about an issue they were having in life. And I tell you what, it made me sick to my stomach to think about their issue. I felt it because God put in there a care. I really feel it. It's not just lip service, but I feel it. Verse 26, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. You might be thinking, what does this have to do with spiritual gifts? And the answer is, we're getting there. The fourth thing here, or the next thing, is the body of Christ. We are His body. We see that in verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. He places us and gifts us as He sees fit. It is His ball game. That's something that is hard for me to grasp. God, I want to be that. And He says, but Andy, I've gifted you to be this. Look at verse 18. Verse 18 says, but as it is, God arranged the members in one body, each of them as He chose. Each of them as He chooses. We have today so much confusion about the basics of life, much less about the spirituality of life. I'm not going to get, and as a matter of fact, it's so disgusting to think about. It's hard to talk about, and if it didn't relate to children, it would almost be comical. There's a move in some areas. As a matter of fact, I read a little thing the other day. A guy said one of the worst things we do to children is to try to identify them in gender while they're children. And I'm like, well, we you should not put male or female on the child. They should decide that from themselves at some other time. And I'm like, you know, we're not even talking logic here. But I mean, and it's comical. And if it didn't deal with real people, it would be funny. But it's not funny. It's like, where are you coming from? So we can't even understand, some of us in society, the basics of life, much less the spiritual life. But the body of Christ, we are His body. He gifts us as He sees fit. It's His ball game. He makes us as He wills. He gifts us as He wills. And we see the diversity within the body. Though we are many, we are one. And we see how God diversifies the body. Now, you're probably looking at the end of your outline. You said, this is the shortest sermon I've ever seen. He's already at the bottom of the page. There are a few things that I left off, and it was my fault, and Christy didn't even know it. I noticed it last night. I said, oh, goodness, I cut off the... I send her a... We're so, you know, technology savvy. Well, I'm not, but I send it to her electronically, and she takes it from there. And evidently, in my electronics, I left some things off, which I'm going to get to in a minute. But I want to sit here for a minute and look at some of these words. E, educate. In this scripture, which we'll read in a few minutes, we need to be educated about spiritual gifts. If you are a believer, it is incumbent upon you to be educated about your spiritual gift or gifts. It is not enough to say, if the Lord zaps me like He did Paul on the road to Damascus and tells me what to do. You need to seek and be educated about your spiritual gifts. And the reason you have the gifts are for the next word, edification, for the body. Christy is the mother in our family. She doesn't get to choose that role. She is the mother. It was chosen a long time ago, and she's the mother. She walks into the room. She's the mother and the wife in our family. And it would be wrong of her to withhold those motherly or wifely, if that's a word, instincts to the family. No, she brings them to the table. Likewise, I'm the husband. I'm the father. When I walk into the room, I come in there bringing what I am, and I edify the family. In the same way, we have prophets, we have teachers, we have evangelists, we have people who have helps, we have people with all sorts of spiritual gifts, and it's wrong if you withhold that from the edification of the body. The next word, E, is equipping. I was thinking about a little story. Someone imagined the carpenter's tools holding a conference. And, several suggested that the hammer leave the church because he was a little too loud. And the hammer was all, you know, he was all sad because everybody wanted him to leave. And the hammer replied, he said, if I have to leave this shop, then Brother Screw must go also, because he's always turning around and around. Everything he turns around, you know. And Brother Screw spoke up and said, if you wish, I'll leave. But I got to tell you, Brother Plain must leave as well. All his work is on the surface. He never gets deep. And Brother Plain responds and he says, well, Brother Rule will have to go as well, because he's always measuring folks to see how they measure up in life. And Brother Rule complained about Brother Sandpaper, saying, buddy, you better not get around him because he rubs everybody the wrong way, you know. And during this weird conversation about all the tools of the carpenter, in walked Jesus, the master carpenter. And he took the plane and the sandpaper and the rule and the hammer, and he made them work together. And they all fulfilled their purpose, and they built something beautiful. In the Church of Jesus Christ, if we fulfill our purpose, we will make something beautiful. It is not the intent of the Holy Spirit to gift every member of the church in the same way, but it is the intent of the Holy Spirit to gift every believer in some way. Now, who's the youngest in the room now? Mary Catherine or Whitfield? I guess Whitfield's the youngest. He's the baby in the group. You know, it's a big baby. You know, he's the youngest. We won't go to the oldest. From Whitfield, God gifts us in some way. God did not leave any of us out. And he says in chapter 14, verse 1, we won't go to 14, we're just sticking with 12 today. Earnestly desire the gifts. And I encourage you to do that as well. Earnestly desire the gifts. That brings me to equipping and empowering. We must be equipped for the work. You know, there's gifts of revelation, maybe the gift of knowledge or wisdom or discernment of spirits, the gift of power. Some of you have faith. You know, Christy has the ability, just the spiritual giftedness of faith. She believes. Now, I believe because I'm a simple person, but there comes a time when it is hard for me to believe. And I go and I ask her again and again and again, and she recalls Scripture to my mind and helps me with my faith. So I'm thankful that she has that gift of faith. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. I remember this morning I was thinking about being in nursery school. I can't remember it well, but there was a little farmer in the Dale play, you know, one of these things they put on, the parents come, and they drink Kool-Aid and everybody, you know. And I remember I was supposed to do something like push a little plastic wheelbarrow out into the middle of the group. And I looked out, and there was a throng of thousands. Well, maybe it was 30. I don't know. And I remember being so frightened to go in front of people. I remember being so scared to do that. And somewhere in the midst of my life, that flipped. And it flipped, and I remember in high school being in a play. And I was in a play, and it was a lot more people. You know, the gym was full and so forth. And I stepped out, and I did my part. And I said, that wasn't so bad. Like, I took 2 or 3 shots this week, and, you know, and I'm not a needle guy. And after, I went the other day, y'all can just laugh. Some of you people go to the doctor a lot, and I was going to give blood. And I, you know, I was holding my, she said, make a fist, not hell. She said, not that tight. And then she said, you can breathe, Mr. Bud. I said, okay. And, you know, so that's me. And I was so scared. But, you know, I got to be not scared to be in front of folks. And it was God's preparation for me. He said, how can you preach for me until you get over this? And he was preparing me for a spiritual gift. Thank the Lord for that. Because it is not my natural inclination to stand in front of 20 or 20,000. It's not me. But there are gifts, the faith, miracles, healings, gifts of worship. We see prophecy. Somebody has to take the Scripture and apply it to our lives today. The gift of helps, administration, leadership gifts. So we see all these gifts, and we must be equipped and empowered. Empowered means use it. Be set free to do it. To go. When Mary Catherine gets out of the car or when she goes somewhere to dance, I always have a little line. What line do I say? That's it. See, you got it. Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things when you ask without prompting, I don't know why. But I always say, dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus. You know, now we're talking about a talent that may turn into a gift, but when we have a spiritual gift, it's something that we don't ordinarily do, but God gifts us to do it. I knew a man. You know, is that the way many good stories start? You know, I knew a man. And he was struggling with something in life one time, and he sat down at a piano to which he had never played the piano, and he started playing the piano. And he said, God just moved his hands and his fingers to play the piano. Now, that sometimes God moves in those miraculous ways. He doesn't do that in my life much. But I'll tell you this, when he gives you a spiritual gift, it is nonetheless miraculous than something that somebody might ooh and ah about. Let me mention 6 things. I didn't put them on the page, but I'll mention them. Number one, this is what I want you to do. Be informed about spiritual gifts. Let's go back up to the beginning of the chapter. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, Paul writes, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. John MacArthur writes, no local church will be what it should be unless it understands spiritual gifts. The definition of a spiritual gift can be many things, but one of the great definitions I've read is this. Spiritual gifts are the divine abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. Now that's long, and I'll be glad to put that out. But it basically says this. Spiritual gifts are divine gifts from God for the body. Not for you, but for the body. God says, Andy, I'm going to give you a gift of teaching. A gift of teaching does no good unless you teach. The gift of helps does no good unless you have a ministry of mercy and you exercise that. So we put those things to use. They're the speaking gifts, the words of wisdom, prophecy, and evangelism. Is anybody just spiritually gifted at evangelism? My brother is spiritually gifted at evangelism. Now, that doesn't mean we all don't evangelize, but he is a spiritually gifted person. We used to always laugh. He could go into a mall and come out with 20 people. He has the ability, a great gift of evangelism. I don't have that gift of evangelism. I have other gifts. Doesn't mean I don't evangelize. I just don't have that great gift. There are service gifts. My dad has the gift of administration. Somebody has the gift of exhortation. Some of you do. You have that gift. You don't even know it, maybe. You have the gift because of the way you exhort me. You fire people up. You keep them moving on. There are the gifts of faith, giving, helps, serving, mercy. There are many different gifts. But instructs us not to be uninformed. Number two, be influenced by the Holy Spirit. We looked at verse 1. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. You know that when you were pagans, when you were lost, you were led astray by mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And I say that to say this, or we read that and we say this. Sometimes we confuse natural abilities as spiritual gifts. There might be a person who's just a great, great in front of people. He can get up there and he starts to sway the crowd. And he maybe starts out by preaching God's word, but he understands how he emotionally can entrap people. And he starts to use those abilities to sway a congregation or a group into thinking and doing what he wants rather than what God wants, if that makes any sense. I really have resisted all my life the tug to dive into emotionalism. Now, I didn't say not being emotional, but emotionalism. I remember as a kid, and my dad did not do this, but I remember as a kid, how many revival services did I go to? And of course, I kept hearing these same stories, you know. And I remember as a kid sitting, and I would hear some stories, and sometimes they would be so sad and heart-rending. And you may have heard them as well. And I remember being so sad sitting as a little kid on the pew and so sorry, but I remember walking out of the place and the next day thinking back. I said, you know, I don't know why my emotions got away from me. I've read, and this is taking it too far, there was one, I don't know if it was Jonathan Edwards, somebody said, he said, when I preach, I want to be so monotone as to not have emotionalism even come into play. I don't think that's right either. But we can be influenced by other factors than the Holy Spirit if we're not careful. Somebody who just has a great personality, beware. Because that may, you can lead people astray if you're not gifted by the Holy Spirit, if that makes any sense at all. Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the same Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We ought to pray and say, Lord, guide my steps. Help me to say the right thing. Help me to do the right thing. Help me to administer my gifts in the right way. That brings me to number three. We should incorporate diversity in our understanding. Now, we've read verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's read verses 4 through 6. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all to everyone. Variety, variety, variety. We have varieties in life. We have varieties in the church, but we are of the same God. Philippians 2:13, Paul says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. I read a little illustration thinking about a potluck supper. I love potluck suppers. Usually I get real lucky. but it went like this. This guy said, we had a little deal at our Family Life Center, and there was a plate full of dessert, and it fell on the new floor in the new fellowship hall and so forth. And he went on to think about this. He said, you know, when the dessert fell on the floor, the person with the gift of prophecy could say, you know, that's what happens when you're not careful. The person who had the gift of service might say, oh, let me help and clean it up. The person with the gift of teaching said, well, you know, the reason it fell was because it was too heavy on one side. The gift of exhortation said, next time, maybe you should get someone else to carry it. The person with the gift of giving would say, let me give you my dessert. And the gift of mercy said, don't feel too bad. It could happen to anyone. And then there's always the guy with the gift of administration who would say something like this. Jim, get the mop. Sue, get the dishpan. Alice, get the towel. Let's clean this mess up. And you see how that is interesting, because everybody has gifts and everybody approaches things in different ways. Sometimes, and you just think about your own family. Sometimes when you're having a bad day, you know who to go to get what you want to get, right? When I'm really going through it, when I'm really, if I go through a little bit and I go to Christy, she lifts me up. On about day two or three, she's putting on her boots. Like she did for me the other day, she said, let's get in the car and ride around the neighborhood. And she said, I need to kick you into gear a little bit. And I needed that. Sometimes when I'm really troubled about something, I know if I go to Jacob, I might get an attentive ear, or I might get a strategy of how to, you know, change that. If I'm really not, I'll go to Mary Catherine. I love you, Dad. You know, because she gives that to me. And so we understand that we all come from different places. But even the young people have spiritual gifts that they administer. I'm going to tell you what, Mary Catherine, you have the gift of exhortation. She lifts me up. I don't have to do a survey to even identify that. I have an issue. There is a card, you know, with a Bible verse stuck on my mirror. This is to encourage Dad. Thank you for using that in my life. Now, number four brings me to this. Identify your spiritual gift or gifts. You say, how in the world do I do that? Well, there are sometimes we just know. Let's look at verse 7 first of all. To each is given the manifestation, what a great big word that is, of the Spirit for the common good. I will invite you to do this. If you are unsure about the spiritual gift or gifts in your life, I have some survey materials that, you know, you kind of fill that out, and it helps guide you to maybe a deeper recognition. Okay, I might be gifted in this area. And I've got those available. I'd be glad to administer. We can do it on Wednesday night. You can do it individually. Anything you want to do. If you're interested in that, you let me know. It's not a foolproof system. It's not something that says that's what it is. But sometimes just doing a survey and talking through and answering questions on paper, it kind of creates a profile that leads you to understand, hey, that might be a spiritual gift of mine. So you be sure and see me if you have a difficulty in understanding your spiritual gift, because I want you to be fulfilled. And I want your spiritual gift to be used for all of us. I was looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. I wish that all men were as I am, Paul said. But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift and another has that. Or in Ephesians, the whole body joined together is held together with every supporting ligament. It grows and builds itself up in love. Each does its part in work. Have you ever seen someone who has the gift of helps? And any time you get together, anytime you're at a service or a potluck meal, or maybe there's someone, a death in a family, or whatever it is, they just have that ability to sense the need, and they're coming along helping. It's a beautiful thing. Some of the rest of us, you know, I wish I'd have thought of that. And some people are gifted in that area. Number five, this is the key. Implement your spiritual gift. I admonish you. I'm going to put on Christy's boots for a moment. Do not neglect to exercise your spiritual gift. Look at verse 14. Now the body is made up not of one part, but of many. And we need the big toe. We need the heart. We need the arms. We need the legs in order to function fully and completely. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You must know this, that your spiritual gift or gifts were not given to you. They were given to the body. They just threw you as the vessel. I was looking at a little illustration, and the guy was the orchestra leader. Have you ever seen an orchestra leader really into the music? Sometimes they, you know, they get their eyes closed and they're going. And this lady, she played the a very small instrument, and she's back there, and she just decides she's not going to play her piece. You know, nobody will notice, and he's directing and so forth, and her part was supposed to be there, very small instrument, and he stops and he says, "Whoa, I'm missing a piece." And he looks over the 100-piece orchestra and he says, "Where are you?" And she said, "Well, I didn't play. I didn't think I would be missed." And he said, "We can't have the concert without you." Now, I say that to all of us. We can't have a body without you. Because God has supernaturally gifted you for this place and this time. That brings me to number 6. In this sandwich between verses chapters 12 and 14, we see chapters 13. It means nothing without love. It means nothing if I can speak in tongues unless I have love. If I prophesy, it doesn't mean anything unless I have love. If I can preach in front of thousands and people come to Christ even, it doesn't matter if I don't have love. If I can go into the hospital and have mercy, but I don't have love, it's like a clanging cymbal. And I know people who are gifted, but they don't have love, and it's a turnoff. You know, hospitals are not fun to go to anytime, but I come to the hospital. I've been in various places with many of you at times, and I do well at hospitals. Go in and I understand and I go in and pray and, you know, and so forth. I'm not good at being the patient. And I got to be the patient this week a couple of times. And as I was in there, you know, I started noticing the people attending to me. And they were attending to me and they were making me feel comfortable and making me feel good. And we got to talking about kids and where we grew up and all sorts of things, and there was that human element there. And I walked and I reeled out, and there's this one girl, and I said, "I want to tell you," he said, "you know, I know God has given you the gift of mercy, and I appreciate you using that gift with me today." God gives us gifts. If you need help identifying that, I'll be glad to do that. But don't neglect to use your gifts. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would help us to be gifted for a purpose. Help us to understand that we are here under your direction. It is your game. You have chosen how and why and when and where to gift us in spiritual ways. You've also chosen that on how to give us our natural abilities and talents. Help all of those things to play in concert together to bring glory to you. Help Emmanuel Church. Help our band of men and women of Christ. Help us to use our spiritual gifts, our talents, yes, and our abilities, yes, in concert together so that we act like, we demonstrate, and we are recognized as part of the body of Christ. And Father, as we see in Scripture, they knew they were Christians because of the way they loved one another. Help us to love and in a deep agape way, so that there is no mistaken identity in our group. We're not a social club. We're the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen.